Welcome to Power Play. Let's go to New York, where Justin Trudeau is approaching the microphone. He's fresh from a Women in the World Summit. Here's what he has to say.
Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube. This is someone who has truly revolutionized the way that we use the internet. Her work has changed how we consume news, how we run political campaigns, and how we take toys out of boxes. We can't do that without a running commentary, apparently. It really was a treat to spend time with Susan. From our support for paid maternal leave to our belief that we need greater diversity, including more women in positions of leadership, we have a lot in common. From there, I sat in on a roundtable discussion with women entrepreneurs. They talked about the obstacles that women face in starting new businesses, and it was another chance for me to listen and learn. It was a very candid conversation, and the kind of conversation we need to have more of if we are truly serious about giving more women more opportunities to succeed. After that, I had a great interview with Tina Brown, who is hosting this week's Women in the World Summit. I was prepared for some tough questions, and I got some tough questions, and I'm glad that I did. I think that politicians of every gender can do a better job of accounting for the choices they make, especially when it comes to how those decisions impact the lives of women and girls. Then I met with Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations. We talked about our shared commitment to the UN's mission around the world, including the advancement of human rights, international peace, and sustainable development. Et finalement, j'ai terminé la journée en prenant part à une autre séance de discussion,
this time with the
sur le thème
UN
de l'égalité des sexes.
Vice Chair on gender equality. As I mentioned, it was a very busy day, but an also productive and enriching one.
Hello, Hannah.
Rex Tillerson was asked just not too long ago if he and President Donald Trump would organize an international coalition to remove Assad. His response was, those steps are underway with other world leaders. Have you been contacted as of yet? And if not, would you support this?
Obviously, first off, we condemn in the strongest of terms the heinous attacks against civilians, including children, by chemical weapons. This is a war crime, and the entire international community must stand firmly against such things. There are, of course, still questions to be answered around who is responsible for these, and that's why Canada is proud of its contribution to the UN mechanism that is tasked with determining responsibility in these issues, but also why we are calling upon the Security Council to pass a strong resolution, hopefully either later today or in the coming days. We don't know exactly who is responsible for this one, but we do know that the Assad regime has been responsible in the past for chemical weapons attacks against civilians. And I think it's important to repeat that at this point, we have to acknowledge that states that have been supportive of the Assad regime certainly need to think about their responsibility in the ongoing conflict in Syria that is taking so many lives. Évidemment, nous condamnons
de façon
absolue et ferme.
We absolutely and firmly condemn these attacks.
En Syrie, l'utilisation d'armes chimiques.
Horrible attacks in Syria. The use of chemical weapons is
particulièrement contre des civils et des enfants.
Is a war waged specifically against civilians and children, and I hope the UN Resolution Committee will be firm
aujourd'hui ou dans les jours à venir.
Today and in the days to come.
En même temps, je peux souligner
Obviously, there are questions we have to find answers to see who is responsible for this horrible attack. But as we know, the Assad regime has used chemical weapons against the civilian population in the past. Might be useful to remind people that the states that support the al-Assad regime are just as guilty if he is indeed responsible for these acts.
So I'm assuming you haven't been contacted by the U.S. government at this time, not one of the world leaders are referring to. But if you are, how could Canada participate if they want to remove Assad from this position?
We continue to work with our international allies on promoting peace and stability in the world. Obviously, the situation in Syria, the civil war that has gone on for far too long, is one where we have seen countries around the world step up and Canadians step up. The way people have opened their homes and hearts, the way Canada has been there for humanitarian aid. And we will continue to work with all international partners to look at ways where we can provide a future free from violent conflict and horrific acts like these for Syrians.
Monsieur Trudeau, sur les missions de paix aujourd'hui à l'ONU,
on the peace mission today at the UN, people like
du Mali, l'ambassadeur français
Mali's
ONU,
foreign
qui,
minister
au Canada, de,
France's ambassador to the UN.
Est-ce que ça fait toujours partie des plans? Quand est-ce qu'on peut s'attendre à une annonce?
Are you still, they're asking if there's part of your plan to continue to Mali. As I've said many times, Canada is committed and continues to be convinced that we have an important role to play in peace matters with the UN. We're proud of our history, and I know Canadians expect us to contribute at the international level, which is why we've committed almost 600 troops and $1 billion to peacekeeping missions. The determination of which mission would be the best and how Canada can best help is still to be determined. We are looking at different options. We're in discussions, serious discussions, because I know that the bravery and skills of Canada's best men and women deserve that we select missions that will be that will exceed everyone's expectations.
As I've said many times, Canada continues to remain committed to United Nations peacekeeping operations. There is, we have set aside up to $500 million and up to 600 troops for engagement in international peacekeeping. The choice as to where and how Canada can best help is one that we need to take very seriously and make sure that whatever mission, whatever determination we make is worthy of the extraordinary capacities, quality, and valor of the men and women of the Canadian forces.
Pourquoi on a l'impression que le Canada a appuyé sur le bouton pause?
Do we get the impression that Canada has hit the pause button?
De cet engagement-là?
It seems you've stopped with this commitment. Is it because you want to hear what the Americans will do? I think if you look at what I've said on this subject, I've long said that we would take the time to make the right decision. Of course, there's always speculation and theory as to what we could do and might not do, but I've always been very, very clear that the decision that we'll make will be the right one, done the right way, at the appropriate time.
Prime Minister, I wanted to ask you a little bit about NAFTA. The process is probably going to enter a more formal phase within a few weeks. So I wanted to ask you about your government's general approach, so what path it intends to follow. Would you favor a quick renegotiation, or would you prefer a more thorough, slower process if you had to choose between the two courses of action?
Well, fortunately, we're not in a position of having to make those choices at this point. What we've laid out is our strategy, which we are following, which is very much impressing upon the American administration just how deep and complex the ties are between our two economies. The fact that there is no relationship in the world, like the close relationship, economic, cultural, social, person-to-person relationship between Canadians and Americans, and our capacity to grow our economies are deeply intertwined with each other. There are millions of good jobs in the United States that depend on free and smooth access across the Canadian border and vice versa, and impressing upon this new administration that any improvements to NAFTA will have to be done very carefully so as to benefit and not harm citizens on both sides of the border is the approach that we've taken consistently. And as I've also mentioned, NAFTA has been improved a dozen times over the past 20 years, and we certainly look forward to having good discussions about how we can improve it further in the coming times.
And if I could ask you a follow-up, and maybe to get the, you to summarize the two questions in French as well. But the follow-up I wanted to ask you is today a monumental event occurred in Ottawa. Mulroney was invited to, into a Trudeau cabinet meeting. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the process through which you engaged former Prime Minister Mulroney in these NAFTA discussions. And at what point did you decide I'd like him involved? And you know, how can you talk to us about why that happened?
From the very beginning of the new administration's arrival on the scene, we looked for ways to reach out to the incoming administration to impress upon them the strength of the Canadian-American relationship and work with them on important files that matter to our citizens. I want to thank former Prime Minister Mulroney for having been there to connect with us and to aid in the discussions back and forth. I think it's really a credit to all Canadians that we've been so able to put aside partisanship on an issue that goes beyond political parties and goes to the fundamental success of our economy. Working well with the United States is not a partisan issue. It's one that we can all align on. And that's where I was pleased that the former Prime Minister has been so thoughtful and helpful and continues to be. As we hear from a broad range of experts and actors in this relationship,